Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, your co-host and producer of the program. And, you know, if I were in better voice, I would start the program with, Oh, Canada, celebrating 150 years. And I have family in Canada, Vancouver Island, and other friends not too far from Toronto as well. So, happy 150th birthday or sesquicentennial to those of you in Canada. And we've got a great program lined up for you. Back to talk about that in a moment. Welcome to the Internet Advisor on this Dominion Day, I believe it's called in Canada, the 150th anniversary of the establishment of our neighbor to the north, the south, and to the east as well. Yeah. Just about all around us here in the Detroit area. My family lives, my sister and brother-in-law and my nephews. And their significant others all live out on Vancouver Island, and I had a pleasure of going out there a few years ago. Visiting is beautiful. And I have another friend, an old classmate of mine from school, who he and I, matter of fact, were in college together, and he's not too far from Toronto. So congratulations to all of them, and salute their 150th birthday. Guys, welcome to the program. Ed Rudell and Cal Carson in studio here today. Got a good program lined up for us as well. Good to have you with us, Ed.
Always great to be here.
And Cal?
Hey, it's like those Canadians that got us surrounded, eh?
I hear you harass some of your local, the Canadian co-workers.
You know, I get accused of harassing them. Every now and then they'll ask me, you know, someone will say something on our group call and one of the Canadians will be on there. And the first thing the Canadian thinks is I said something about it. And it really wasn't me. It was someone else. Only because I asked them one time if they have stuffed beaver for Thanksgiving.
Oh, dear. Well, this is a big week, among other things, for anniversary. Another anniversary is the 10th anniversary of the iPhone.
Yes, it is indeed.
Matter of fact, you have in your hot little hand there one of the originals?
Well, it's a cousin of the original iPhone. This is an iPod Touch, and this is in the same format and configuration that the original iPhone 3, I believe, was in, or 3S. And it's amazing how this little small device just changed how we use our phones.
Well, we're going to talk about that during the program here. And Gary, by the way, Gary Baker with us on from Fort Lauderdale. Gary, what did you get an iPhone right away when they first came out?
No, I waited until they were secure, and then I did. You know, and Steve Jobs said, iPhones are secure. iPhones are secure. This version really is secure. And that's when I bought it.
I'm trying to remember which version that was. That was the 4S.
Oh, all right. So what you're holding in your hand there, Cal, is not necessarily the most secure version.
Oh, this is not a phone at all. This is an iPod Touch, which ran the same iOS operating system. Everything about this device is identical to an iPhone, with the exception it doesn't have a phone capability in it. It can surf the net, it can get mail, it can do all the things that the iPhone did, with the exception of make a call.
So that was kind of like their MP3 player that came out.
Well, the iPod was their answer to the MP3 player. And believe it or not, there was a phone that actually played songs just like the iPhone does a long time ago. There was a time when Motorola and Apple got together, and they had iTunes working on a phone called the Motorola Rocker, R-O-K-E-R-O-K-R.
No, no, kidding. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it would keep you use iTunes to load the music on with, and it would hold a massive, humongous 100 songs.
Oh, gee. Oh, I kind of think of the libraries that are on there now of people holding on their phones.
Right. I mean, Apple really had some very good MP3 players at the time, because they did not invent the MP3 player, but they certainly revolutionized it. And what made it was their iTunes and the way that people could purchase the music and the licensing and the digital rights management.
And also the capacities that they offered, too, because they built into the iPods hard drives. And those hard drives allow them to put like thousands of songs in your pocket instead of just a couple of hundred.
You know, Gary, when you first got the iPhone, was it for making calls, or did you use it for other kinds of things as well?
Well, I used it for making calls, of course, because replaced my other phone, but it did so much more. And that's what I think, you know, Cal was saying, was that while there were other phones out there that really did do an awful lot, they didn't come in the form factor that that the iPhone did. The iPhone caught up. And, you know, did it in such an elegant way. Mm-hmm. It was hard not to buy it back then. Yeah. And I think they had like an 80% penetration rate initially.
That must
obviously
have been,
that's way down now. But but initially, that it was pretty amazing. And it was because it was a cool product.
And if I remember right, the only vendor you could originally get the first generation was AT&T, wasn't it?
No, let's go back even further.
Okay.
Before AT&T bought them, it was an operation called Singular.
Oh, yes, C-I-N. Singular,
yes. They had it. They were the first ones with it.
Oh,
and then AT&T bought Singular, and they got a hold of it from
there. And it wasn't an original, but it was so thin and sleek, and the battery life was extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, there was the Palm Pilot, and we were looking, well, this is nothing more than icons and a touchscreen, but... But whatever Apple, a lot of things that Apple touches turns to gold.
You know, my heart had a little flutter there when you mentioned the Palm Trio, because that was my favorite phone. Yep. Up to that point, it did everything I wanted to do. I had buttons on there to make to dial. It was just a wonderful phone, and the form factor I loved on it as well.
And I was really hoping they'd take off, but a quote from Steve Jobs is, good artist copy, great artist steal.
This is true.
He was good at that. Listen, by the way, we're going to step from the past into the present for a little bit here. We're going to be talking in just a minute to Teresa Mask about a very significant problem right now online, and that's cyberbullying. AT&T, we just mentioned them, have taken up the cause, and they have a great campaign out there. Teresa Mask will be with us in just a moment to tell us about their campaign against cyberbullying. Well, we're going to revisit that nostalgia trail in just a little bit here on the Internet Advisor, looking at what's changed in our lives and also in the iPhone's life. As we celebrate the 10th anniversary. But something that is a very real concern right now is something called cyberbullying. And we have with us on the program Teresa Mask. She is a person who's involved with the media relations for AT&T. And they've got a program that they have just started called There's a Soul Behind That Screen. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us here on this big weekend.
Thanks for having me and shining light on this important issue.
Yeah, well, thank you to AT&T for doing the same there. Tell me a little bit, what's behind the sense of that title, There's a Soul Behind That Screen?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when it comes to cyberbullying, it happens online. You know, it's so easy to hide behind the quick text, the snap, your post or your tweet, you know. But the truth is, there's lasting effects, and we've seen it in so many devastating ways. And so it's important for people to realize that there is a person that you are bullying. There's a person that's behind the comments that's going on. And so that's how we got the title.
Mm. You know, many times the approach is to try and encourage people not to bully in that type of situation. What are we doing to try and teach people how to handle the incoming and not be able to let it affect them directly from a mental standpoint?
From the victim's point of view. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing and the cool thing about this campaign is that we're really trying to start a conversation, you know, to help parents and educators tackle this issue. And one of the things that comes along with this video, if you haven't seen it, it's a very powerful movie that was actually compiled by high schoolers based on their own personal experiences. So what comes along with it is a Common Sense Media has given us a brochure that gives you tips and suggestions for parents on how to deal with it. You know, encouraging your teens that when they have devices that you're going to be doing spot checks on their phones to see what they're talking about with their friends, having conversations with them about what's going on in school, being empathetic to them when they tell you that they're having a problem, because that's really some, we've learned from the poll that we did that half of the people don't even tell their parents that they've been bullied. So we're trying to really start a conversation, make people aware that there is a problem, and then talk about how we can address the problem.
I want to just let people know, if you go to internetadvisor.net and click on the show notes for today's page, you'll see that we have a link. Matter of fact, there is a link to the 30-second trailer to that movie that you've created, which is 20 minutes long, and it'll let you find out, you know, where the rest of that movie. It'd be great to show the kids. It's a YouTube video about this, so you can find it there. The other thing is, we also have a link to the PDF, the document that you provided us, which is a resource for parents on the cyberbullying. You know, Gary, I remember that years ago when we were talking about, you know, kids on the computer, there was this POS, which was Parents Over Shoulder. I remember you're talking about that with Lauren, your daughter. We've gone well beyond that, it sounds like, Gary.
Well, you know, it's, first of all, bullying's happened for centuries, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But the difference now is that people think they can hide behind the internet and, you know, social media because they're not standing in front of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it more prevalent, I think, today. And it's not just kids. You know, parents, you know, adults get into playing more still. You know, I know that Ed and Cal remember, you know, all those flame wars at the beginning. Now, it's calmed down a little bit because adults have figured out that it's less productive, but it hasn't gone away, and it certainly hasn't gone away with the kids bullying each other.
Yeah,
and that's so true, and that's why it's so important for us to reach the young people. You know, this initiative, the Cyberbullying Initiative, actually complements another effort that we have going on. It's called Later Haters. It's a term we thought that young people could relate to, and so we're encouraging them to follow on Instagram, to follow on Twitter, Later Haters, and use that hashtag when they're corresponding with people. If they see someone saying something negative about someone, they can use the hashtag Later Haters in their comments, and use that as a way to kind of address it. Because we found that 90% of people see bullying and do nothing about it. So this is one little way that they can do something.
But thank you. Teresa Mask, by the way, is our guest here. She's with AT&T. And Later Haters, I have to admit, I did not know about that campaign, but we're going to definitely do something to link to it. Most of the people who are listening to the program right now are not going to be the teens, although, Gary, you brought up a very good point that it's not just teens who are being bullied, but we've seen instances of adults as well that are bullied.
And little kids, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Younger kids than teens.
What kind of, can you give us some tips, just quick tips, Teresa, from your literature there?
Yeah, you know, one of the most important things is for parents to know the sites that their kids are visiting online and to kind of know who they're talking to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They can ask to friend or follow their kids on social media. That's not a very popular thing to do, but at least you would know whether or not your kid is getting that kind of negative energy, that kind of negative comments, you know, happening. We are encouraging people to tell their kids to let you know immediately if they or someone they know has been bullied, to let them know so that you can help them, you know, with that problem. Because that's part of what happens is it goes undetected and it goes on and it festers and festers. And that's when kids start to think of negative things to do to themselves that is a result of being bullied.
Well, we've had, just in the news recently, that court case of a young woman who essentially bullied a young man into committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And it was horrendous. It cost somebody their life. So, folks, when we talk about cyberbullying, it's not some imaginary kind of thing. This is going on, and it's hurting people.
Yeah, that was a really devastating case. You know, one of the things we also talk about is the digital footprint that your child has, and parents helping them to be smart about what they post, what they say, and telling them, you know, not to share anything that could hurt or embarrass themselves or other people. And that's what it comes down to, just being proactive and being smart about how we use the social media. And AT&T really wants people to use their mobile devices for good. You know, we have these great devices, whether, you know, you have a cell phone or a tablet or whatever, we want you to use it for good and being smart about how you interact online.
Gary, you had a comment.
Well, I was just saying, you know, there are so many times it's the fact that the person being bullied doesn't think they have any recourse. They don't know a way to stop it. And it goes on reported because they don't think the parents can do anything about it. But this is a way that you can empower those people that are being bullied, right?
That's true. And not only that, but there are a lot of apps that are out now as well that help with that. There's one called Stop It, and that allows you to anonymously report someone who is a bully. Because so often it's one of those things when you're in high school, for instance, you don't want to be that person who is a tattletale or something like that.
Narking,
you know?
On somebody,
There's another app called Instagram Comment Filter, which allows you to filter comments, negative comments, right off your Instagram. It will not allow them to be posted.
Mm.
There's Bully Block that allows you to block bullies who are online. There's another one called Sit With Us app. One of the ways that people bully is by shunning people, not eating with them at lunch and things like that. This app is super cool. It allows you to post, hey, this is an open area. Come join us for lunch. And if someone's on there, they can see that they can go sit with you at lunch because you're open and friendly. So there are lots of things out there that are addressing this issue. But this movie, there's a soul behind that screen, is very powerful, and I encourage everyone to look at it.
Quickly, Cal, you had a comment, but just before you get to that, and we're running close to being out of time here, Teresa Mask, but I want to let people know that there are links on our homepage to these resources, and we're not going to get a chance to talk them all out, but if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see both a trailer to that movie, and you will also see a link to that PDF, and I'm going to guess you've got links to all these other things we've been talking about as well, Teresa,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yep.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you to AT&T for getting involved in doing this. Have a very good weekend as you enjoy your family on the 4th of July.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hope you're enjoying your holiday weekend. It's actually the beginning of a rather long one for people who want to stretch it all the way on to July the 4th. But I know the folks across the river here in Detroit, it's interesting, to our south in Canada, have a very big celebration going on, and that's the 150th anniversary of the founding of Canada.
The only place in the United States where you go south to get to Canada.
South of the border, down Canada way. By the way, speaking of south, Gary is down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and there are some guests that he has down there. We want to say hello to Cameron and Rinstead, right?
Yep, Grinstead.
Okay, we got the name.
And I think we ought to keep this a talk show and not a music show. You know what? While I have some great guests, last night we shot a music video.
No kidding.
Here on the boat. Yep. We had a number of people on videotaping, and we had a drone above.
Lots
of fun.
Oh, I thought this was like some amateur. This is get down serious filming.
Gary, you had on sunglasses, and you were dressed up like Bruno Mars and doing a couple of routines on the deck.
This was a rap video, and not quite exactly my my flavor of music, but it's certainly did appeal to my son. So
That's great. Hey, guys, one of the things I wanted to spend a little more time talking about was the iPhones. And Ed, I know that right now you don't use an iPhone, right?
I do not. I have an Android, but I carry an iPhone because so many people I support use iPhones.
In your tech service?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have to be familiar with, so I don't have to make as many calls to Cal and say, Cal, help. I can usually figure them out if I have the device in my hand.
Yeah, and how many calls do you get for an iPhone, really, when you think about it? No, I'm just kidding.
At least four a week.
I'm just curious, why have you stuck with the Android platform?
I don't know. I just don't want to have it's not my personal phone. The company the phone we're talking about, and I just don't want them paying $600 for a phone. I'd rather them pay $300 or $200 for a phone. I don't think it's worth it for them. It's a business phone.
Are the Galaxies really that cheap?
That's what I tell myself.
Okay. The last time I checked, they weren't that cheap. But
no, I don't think so.
But in defense of my cohort over here, Mr. Rudell, I think it comes down to, what are you used to using? What are you comfortable using?
Yeah.
What is the ecosystem that you live in?
I love
those
that
sort
word.
Of things.
Ecosystem.
All those things go into what choice of machine that you use. I'm the opposite of Ed. I like the iPhone. I carry an Android just in case to support all the people that I might have that do that particular ecosystem. But when it comes down to it, if you call it a phone, they're both equal. They
Absolutely.
Both make calls go out,
Excellent.
And they make calls come in.
I would say even nowadays, if you call them a camera, they're pretty much equal on certain levels.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to the old, how many megapixels do you have as opposed to how many megapixels do you have? But, I mean, for the most part, that's basically what it's all about. I mean, you pick something that you like, you go with it, and be happy. I mean, I don't begrudge someone because they want to do an Android phone. Let them do an Android phone. Lock it out. If that makes them happy, that's all that matters.
I guess I'm old school, and, being on the PC and type environment, I like being able to plug a phone in there and navigate through the file system of the phone. And it's like, oh, look at that. I have a directory here, and this is where they download the cache. I mean, just my natural curiosity. I can navigate through the Samsung or the Android phones, and I have a downloads folder. There's that document I was looking for. I was looking for that, Good luck doing that with an iPhone. I mean, but it's all cloud-based.
Yeah.
But everything is going to go cloud-based in the near future. So,
it's interesting you mentioned that because just this last week, matter of fact, yesterday, I switched my wife, Ginny, from a Windows phone to my old iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah.
And then I picked up an iPhone 7.
How'd that transition go for her?
The transition is not so hurt for her so much as for me because I have found I am a horrible teacher when it comes to teaching my wife something in technology. I am just awful at it. All the patience
I think
that I
every
have
husband in the world would agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just not a good
You cannot
place to
teach
be.
Your wife anything. They have to go to their friends, their brother-in-laws. They will say the exact same thing you did, but they're right. And you're wrong.
Well, one of the things I found is kind of interesting is when you switch platforms like that, you begin to notice the differences in them. And what I saw was that with the iPhone, you have less things to fiddle with. When you finally get all the apps on there and everything else, like she wants just a very few apps on. So I just make sure the other ones are gone, but she doesn't even bother them. She isn't going to see them. She doesn't want to see them.
Right.
Like for instance, the Apple Wallet. She doesn't want to bother to see that because she won't use it for that. But there are other things like Facebook and whatever else that she uses. Once I'm done with that and she recognizes where that is, it's done. But as you said, Ed, I switched to an Android for just a little bit, but it drove me nuts because there was so much to tweak, which you'd love, Ed. You love that kind of tweaking.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I want to get in there and see what's going on.
That's part of the great difference.
Now, if you go to the middle ground there, Gary, how's your feeling on the two ecosystems? Have you used both? I know you use an iPhone currently, but have you ever been on any other platform other than iPhone?
Well, I have, but not on an Android. By the time that Google came out with Android, I was already considering the iPhone and I've never looked back. I think it's a great phone. It works. I love it mostly because of the apps. I don't mind the tweaking if I had to, but you just don't have to with the iPhone. It is pretty elegant from that standpoint. But Foster, I have a question.
Sure.
You got an upgrade to 7, and you gave Jenny your old one? How come she didn't get the 7?
First of all, cost was part of the factor. Because we did, when I switched over and gave her my iPhone, I just wanted her to get into the iPhone world, to be honest with you. And when I did that, it functions perfectly well. There's no problems with it. And she is not that concerned with the speed of the applications and things like that, or with the haptic touch. And what are some of the other aspects of it, Cal?
Well, faster processor, higher resolution on the cameras, better cameras on both front and back, the haptic touch.
So those are issues that are just not issues for her.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Gary.
One thing that's near and dear to my heart living here on a boat is it's water resistant. I want the 8 to be waterproof.
Yeah, you're
right. In fact,
right.
I would like it to float.
Well, you know, there's something beautiful about a friend like Gary Foster that just says, here, smear this chicken blood on your arm, and now dip it in this water where these sharks are. Because that's pretty much basically what happens when he goes like, well, why'd she get the phone and you get that phone? But that's neither here nor there, because it would probably work the same way at my house as well.
Well, you know, one of the other factors, Gary, was that Jenny was on a Windows phone. And the deciding factor really was about a month ago, she went to use a Messenger application on the phone, and a pop-up came up and said, we're no longer servicing this application.
So what museum did you drop that phone off to after you switched her over?
It still functions. We have it as a backup. And with our big family, you know, somebody may suddenly say, gee, I'm without a phone. You got anything? And we could pass that off to them.
Now, question, you stayed on the same provider?
Yes.
Did you literally just take the SIM card out of the Windows phone and put it into the iPhone?
Yep.
And then it was just a matter of setting the iPhone completely because there was no way to transfer the Windows data over to the iPhone.
Well, pardon me. I shouldn't say that. A good deal of the Windows data contacts,
yes,
I think, came over. They did the switch of some of that data.
Yes. How did you move it?
In the store, they moved a good deal of it.
Oh, okay. So they did it for you in the store.
Yeah, but for instance, she has a Fitbit. And so I had to install a Fitbit application onto her.
Right, because it had to be a Fitbit for Apple as opposed to Fitbit for Windows.
I will warn anybody who makes that jump, whether you're on the platform now or not, it's going to take you a long time.
Now, it is really easy to do if you're going from Android to iPhone, because literally what you do is you go to the Google Play Store, you download Android to iPhone app.
Oh.
And then on the iPhone, when you set it up, it will ask you, are you moving over from Android? You say yes. And then it establishes a link over Wi-Fi between the two, and it moves all the data that way.
Mm. Well, we have somebody to welcome to our midst once again, an international traveler. That's Mike Brennan, is back from Israel. He was there for a week in Tel Aviv covering Cyber Week. And Mike, fairly jet lagged, is with us in just a moment. If you remember and you were tuned into our show last week, Mike Brennan, we spoke to him from Tel Aviv. He had just arrived, I think, was getting ready to dive into a week of what was called Cyber Week in Tel Aviv, Israel. And we are now back with him. He is, I can imagine, well jet-lagged, but Mike, we're glad to have you back in the good old U.S. of A.
Well, thanks, Foster. I'm here in body. My spirit is somewhere over the Mediterranean Sea right now, I think. So.
That far behind, huh?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I got it. I rolled into here about 1 o'clock this afternoon after 19 hours of travel. Ooh. And 7 time zone changes. And I think I've gotten 5 or 6 hours of sleep in the last 48. But I'm back.
You're back. So, my goodness. What were some of the highlights of the week for you, Mike?
Oh, gosh, there were so many. But first of all, let me explain that it turned out we were actually the guests of the prime minister, who asked the foreign ministry to invite journalists from around the world to come in during Cyber Week. Because one of the things Israel's really big on and does quite well is cybersecurity. A lot of reasons. You know, they have mandatory conscription for kids. All kids, women and men, have to be in the military. A lot of them go into what's called the Unit 8200, which is the super cyber intelligence unit. So they get a lot of hands-on experience in a real battle, fighting World War III, as it were, with the bad guys who are always, you know, coming after Israel, so they're dealing with that. And then they have all these programs that the government puts together to take these people, if they want to get out of the army, put them into or help them build startups. So we're at a place down in the Israeli desert called Beersheba, if I'm pronouncing that right, which was part of Ben-Gurion University. And the whole thing is this giant accelerator for cybersecurity companies. Now, they claim to have, you know, as many as the, well, the prime minister spoke on Monday, and I recorded that, and he claimed they have 700. But Richard Stephen came on the show last week and said, I don't think it's quite that many.
Yeah.
But it's probably in the ballpark of 300 startups that are actively in the cybersecurity space.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that the prime minister said that kind of touched off the whole week was, he's frankly just said, we're open for business. Come work with our cybersecurity expertise, and we'll help you, you know, develop it for your business, for your country, for whatever you want to use it for. So I'm going to be writing a lot of those stories after the fact. I was in a nice hotel on the beach that had very bad Wi-Fi service, so I was not able to file as many as I had hoped. But I'm going to spend the next 4 or 5 days going through all this stuff, filing 4 or 5 of these stories that will illustrate all these points I'm making.
Okay, good. Yeah, and it means I'm catching up on your sleep.
That too.
By the way, are you going to have an MI Tech News, pardon me, an M-Squared TechCast coming up this next Monday?
No, no, we're not going to do that. Matt's out of town, and I'm kind of out of my head right now. So I didn't really want to do that show as groggy as I am. And a lot of the guests, obviously, they're taking a long Independence weekend.
Yep.
So we'll have it the following, on the 10th. July 10th is the first time we come back.
Okay. All right. I have traveled internationally, but mine was more to Latin America. And matter of fact, traveled all over Latin America in the 1960s and 70s. But I have not traveled, you know, across as many time zones as you crossed as well.
Yeah.
That is quite a challenge. Gary, have you traveled internationally, by the way? I'm just curious. I was wondering if you've traveled east to west, you know, across international lines like that.
Yeah, I've gone to Europe. In fact, when I was a partner in Anderson, I would spend 2 weeks here and 1 week in Paris. 2 weeks here, 1 week in Paris. And then when I went to EDS, I was traveling around the world. I had global responsibilities, so that was kind of fun. And we, you know, not only around the world, but down on the far southern side of Australia to you know, Melbourne, and then to Adelaide. So there were a lot of opportunities to be groggy on those trips.
Well, I sometimes wonder.
Yeah, I can relate.
I bet you can relate to that. I sometimes wonder, you know, how effective international travel is, because of the beating the human body takes in the process. Wouldn't we be better off just doing something, you know, like with Skype, where we can see the people?
I think there's certain things you just can't do with Skype. You really just need to be face-to-face. Once you do that, if you're doing business, you know, once you've established a relationship, you can do an awful lot on the phone and with Skype. But sometimes there's just not... there's not a substitute. And a lot of times when I would go around, I would listen to our global calls from a different part of the world, and I'd find out just how challenging it is. I'm going, you guys can't even hear us. And no wonder it sounds like you know, that you're disconnected. And they said, yeah, we really couldn't hear you. And so we got them better connectivity and a better connection. But, you know, it's just amazing sometimes what you learn just by being there.
Not to mention the fact that it's probably easier to close a deal over a cold stein, a German beer, and a bratwurst.
Yeah,
that too.
Well, we and of course it was. I don't know if you've ever been with a pack of journalists when they're on somebody else's dime. But
I have been. Yes, I have been.
We tore them up. I'll tell you. We it took a couple of days for everybody to kind of figure each other out. The common denominator was everyone spoke English to varying degrees. But we really bonded very quickly because we're all professionals. We're having a good time, and we had such a schedule. My God, we were just go constantly. But and then at night they forced us to go out to have dinner and drink and party. It was horrible. I hated it. You know. So
I can hear the pain in your voice.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. It was probably one of the more exciting weeks I've had. I can't remember when I had such a fun week. And then they gave us time on Thursday to go to Jerusalem because everybody wanted to see the holy site. So we were at the Wailing Wall. We were at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you know, all that stuff. So it was a very moving experience.
The Dome of the Rock.
Hey, Mike, one of the things that happened when you were over in Israel was that the next release of that, what was the virus last week? The ransomware, the plague or plague?
That was one of the big topics of discussion.
I bet it was.
Essentially, ransomware has now been weaponized, and it was a variation that went beyond extortion. It went to a data wipe, and it's very much we discussed that. It's very much a nation state attack. We have our the usual suspects that even the Israelis were saying who the usual suspects are, and we can all name them. There's about a half a dozen they could have come from, but it was a very powerful attack, and it's taking us to a whole other level now. It's getting really scary out there.
Well, did they talk about how to respond to that kind of an attack?
Well, that's the thing, is now everyone's trying to figure that part out. They don't have a really good solution other than you better patch your Windows. That's the biggest problem, is the big organizations that they have to study these patches and decide if they're going to use them. If they don't move faster, they're going to be susceptible to these attacks.
Well, Mike, I know we're going to have plenty of time to watch mitechnews.com as a source of your analysis of some of the experiences that you had over there. And I would just recommend people that you subscribe to mitechnews.com. All you got to do is go there, put your email address in, and you are on the list. No money changes hands. Mike, get yourself some sleep. We look forward to your reports this coming week.
All right, thanks, Foster. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. All right. Tear them up, Mike. Thank you so much for being with us. And we've got another hour coming up, and that hour is your hour because that's when you call in with your questions and we get some answers for you. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. 800-859-0957. We look forward to hearing from you as soon as you call in this next hour.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome back to this holiday weekend edition of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown. And we have Ed Rudell, Kel Carson in studio with us, and we are ready to roll with your questions. Here's the number to call, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Give us a call there, and we're ready to answer your questions about your computer or any other device you've got there that we can help with. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and I'm delighted to see what's happening on our holiday weekends is that people are taking the opportunity to call and get some help. Good for you! Calling early at 800-859-0957 or heeding Kel's admonition to vote as they do in Chicago, or call as they vote in Chicago,
you know, vote, call early and call often. You know, chances are what they're doing is they're celebrating, like in Chicago, they probably got a Chicago-style hot dog. You know, some little sport peppers laying on top of that with some relish and stuff.
Shane Hamlin told us about, Ed, remember that last weekend? He told us about that place that has Chicago hot dogs here in the Detroit area.
Hippos. Yeah, Hippos.
Well, we're going to have to look that up real quick.
And they
quick
have the Chicago-style hot dogs and the beef and with the dip with the... He said it's awesome.
Oh, you mean the Chicago beef with the au jus dip?
Yeah.
Mm. Here we go. We haven't had lunch. Good. We haven't had lunch yet or dinner.
And don't have to drive 260 miles to get it. I like that sort of talk, even when it ain't dirty.
That is nice. I want to thank Mike Stats for being our engineer the last hour. And Danielle Mason has stepped in here. She is the pleasant voice that answers the phone and is also our excellent engineer. Thank you, Danielle, for joining us here on this holiday weekend. We've got some callers out there, Fred and Betty and some other folks who are calling in, so let's dive right into it. Mr. Baker is on the line with us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where he is getting ready to take some folks out on his boat this weekend. And in studio, we have Cal Carson and Ed Rudell. So let's go right to the calls that are waiting for us out here. Fred from Sterling Heights, how may we help you here on the holiday version of the Internet Advisor?
Yeah, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I uploaded an update to my Windows 10 about a week ago,
mm-hmm.
and I don't use the laptop very much because the smartphones are popular now, but I've lost my internet connection. I can't find my router.
Okay, so how long has your laptop been powered off? Because last October or November, Microsoft had a Windows 10 patch that really messed up a lot of people's wireless unit.
I did this about 10 days ago.
Right, but how long was it powered off and not being used, I guess is what I'm getting at.
After I updated it?
No, before you updated it, how long was it shut off? I'm sorry.
Not that long.
Not long.
I use it a couple times a week. I just don't use it every day like I used to.
Well, you know, there's two things that I would do. First, cycle the power on your wireless router first, and then see if your laptop will discover your wireless router.
That doesn't work.
Okay, the second thing to do is go into Windows and go into Device Manager. So on Windows 10, you go into the search bar and type in Device Manager, and that'll bring up an application. And Device Manager shows all the different hardware devices in your laptop or your computer. You'll scroll down and you'll see network devices. And they're categorized: screen, keyboard, battery, mouse, stuff like that. Network adapters. One of those adapters will be your wireless or Wi-Fi adapter. It might say something like Intel 6270, M Pro Wi-Fi or something like that. A lot of them are in. Anyways, you'll find your wireless adapter. There'll be four of them in there probably, three or four of them. One of them will clearly give you the impression that that's your wireless adapter. You select it, then you strike the delete key on your keyboard, and what you're going to do is remove that adapter or the definition for that wireless adapter. When that happens, Microsoft Windows will come up and say, do you wish to delete the drivers for this wireless adapter? You're going to select the option to say no.
Okay, I've got an Intel Wi-Fi Link 5100 AGN.
Yeah, AGN. That's 802.11 AGNN. Yeah, strike it, delete it, and then it's going to challenge you. Do you wish to remove the software or drivers for this? Select no. So you're doing this live. This is good.
You are about to uninstall this device from your system. I've got an okay and a cancel.
Say okay. Oh, there might be a checkbox that says, do you wish to also... Anyways, yes, you want to remove that device from the system. You're doing is removing the definition for that device.
It's gone.
Okay, now at the top of the screen, you have where it says my computer name, the very top item, right? It will have your computer name.
Yes.
Right mouse click on that, and you're going to select scan for hardware changes.
Okay.
And then what it does, it's going to rediscover your wireless network adapter. And you'll see the screen flash several times, and your device will show up.
Okay, I see it again.
Okay, yep. Now on the bottom right of your screen, you could search for your wireless network again, and hopefully it shows up this time, where you'll see it'll actually scan and work properly, and you'll be able to see your wireless router at home. Please tell me yes, because this works 99 out of 100 times.
It gives the network name and it says secure,
yep.
But the at the bottom, what is it, the taskbar?
Yep.
It doesn't light up down there.
Well, you have to attach to it because it's secured. You just deleted it. So you have to select it and then type in the secured password one more time, and then you'll connect to it.
Oh.
So, okay.
Yeah. So I said secured, but I'm not connected yet.
Is it challenging you for a password?
It's checking network requirements.
We have like 30 seconds before commercial.
Yeah, so I tell you what we're going to do. I'm gonna put you on, Fred, hang on a second. I'm going to put you on hold so that when we're in the break, Ed can wrap this up with you and make sure that we've completed the connection there. But that's a good example of going through it step by step. Excellent. Well done, Eddie. The number here again is 800-859-0957. Normally, we try not to do the process on the air because it can be, you know, there can be a wrinkle. There can be something. It's
right, but he was right with us. So.
He was right with us all the way, and it worked out perfectly. So thank you for that, Fred. Betty in Richmond and Lynn in Ohio, we're back for you in just a few moments. And for the rest of you out there, it's a great holiday weekend, and that means loads of time for you to call in, get a lemonade or whatever else pleases you, and call us back at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisors are on the air for you. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood this long weekend. I know in my city of Royal Oak, they are busy celebrating a rib fest. And that is smelling very good all over the city of Royal Oak.
There is something absolutely wonderful about this time of year when you smell that. Smelling of cooking meat outside and good warm weather, nice clear blue sky. A cooler full of cold libation. It's like almost heaven. It's almost heaven.
I love it. All right.
Well, as an update, I was able to work with Fred over the commercial break, and at the last moment, it did allow us to connect. So it did challenge him for his home wireless security key.
Ah, okay. Good. Good. All right.
So we got back on he's back online?
I sure hope so. It challenged him, and then he'll enter it, and we hope so. He couldn't get that far before.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, 800-859-0957. Let's see if we can help some other folks out there. Betty from Richmond, Michigan, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you very much, and happy 4th to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hope it's a happy and a safe one.
Well, I am hoping so, too. I have been getting a flash on I have a Windows 10. A Dell expired desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then it will say Windows 10 Creators Update, Review Privacy Settings. Is Windows 10 Creators Update something that an everyday user would need?
Well, that's a Microsoft update that came out
one of the newer ones. Yeah.
Right. And it was a major upgrade to the operating system for Windows.
Yeah.
And
why they gave it that title, I don't know, because it's freaking people like Betty out, understandably, by the way, Betty, because it's, well, I'm not a creator, I'm just a user.
Well, what it does is it downloads additional applications,
yes.
And if you have like a Microsoft Surface, it increased the sensitivity, it gave you 3D paint capability, it gave you another photo gallery, I believe, so it gave you several enhancements to the Windows 10 experience,
right,
as well as some of the gaming interactions. So they called it a creator's update.
Does that same enhancements work for the desktop as well, or is it strictly like for more your tablet type situation?
No, it's for the desktop. One of the things I do enjoy, and I found it's true, is with the creator's update, when you go through the usage and the setup of your creator's update, one of the options is basically, do you wish to enable, and I can't remember what it is. It's basically, it turns off the blue in the screen after like 8 or 9 p.m. So it removes one of the primary colors or reduces it so that I don't have as much white.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain isn't tricked into thinking that I want to stay up later.
Yeah.
So when I do shut the lid, I don't have as long of a wait to fall asleep because my serotonins aren't messed up.
Yeah.
So I have found that to be the case. I could stay up until 11:30, which is like unheard of for me, and fall asleep right away, where before I'd always, you know, the screen was so intense. coloring that
Apple does the same thing too. Doesn't
yeah, on iOS it has a setting on there, and it's simply called Night Shift.
That's right.
And you click it, and it changes the hue.
I used to love that show on Channel 4, Night Shift.
But the big question is for our caller: does she have a choice of of accepting it, or can she not accept it? What can she do?
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming you just install it.
Yeah.
I don't think there
so it's not going to hurt it.
Yeah, and
if
I believe there might be some security enhancements to it as well.
Yeah.
So you should go ahead and install it. It should be fine for you to do on your computer.
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure what they meant by my privacy settings. Review your privacy settings before installing.
What that will do, if I remember correctly,
if you went in and did a bunch of customizations to like how you browse on the internet, that you don't want to connect cookies and those sort of things, if you've changed a bunch of those things, they want you to take a look at those and record them so that if something changes, you can put those privacy settings back.
And
where
I think they may have made some changes to Cortana. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So they want you to review it because changes made to the voice assistant or search assistant within Windows, they just want you to know that about some of the changes that are taking place.
And they want to make sure that for instance, that you want to download automatically and install automatically, or you don't want to download automatically and install automatically.
Do you want your searches to become part of Microsoft's database for purposes of better speech recognition or something like that?
Well, Cortana and I don't talk. but I use DuckDuckGo a lot for my general searching.
Yeah.
And Firefox is on there, but I use DuckDuckGo a lot for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed when I go into my Comcast, which I do have, and I use that as a home page, that I always have my email and everything comes in on the HTTPS setting. And I'm thinking, how did I do that?
Because your email is supposed to be secure.
Yes.
And that's what HTTPS means.
I never noticed that my regular email was before. And and then there's one more question.
Sure.
With my Dell, I keep getting a flag that says one update is ready to install, Dell Inspiron 3252 system BIOS.
Dell, the manufacturer, has different updates that they do to the hardware itself.
And you know, I did that once before, and it seemed like I had a devil of a time with my computer, my other one, so I keep putting remind me later, but they keep doing it about every 10 minutes now.
If it's a Dell BIOS, you really do not need it unless you're experiencing problems like with the computer waking up from sleep or, you know, they're very minimalistic. Dell has a piece of software on your computer that constantly checks for updates, and they have an update to your BIOS. That's all that's saying. You could probably delay that for as long as you want.
She could probably even go into the control panel and turn off that under programs and features,
she could probably uninstall the Dell Assistant or whatever it's called.
I wasn't sure. As I said, I had the problem before, and I didn't want to start all over again, but they're reminding me now, like every 10 minutes.
Yeah, once burned, twice
once
shy?
Once bitten, twice shy.
There you go,
Yeah, just go into Control Panel and programs and features, find the Dell Assistant, and just turn it off.
Okay.
Or uninstall it.
Yes.
All right.
Well, I do appreciate that, and thank you very much for your help.
You know, thank you, Betty, by the way, for asking those questions. You're certainly not out of line doing that.
Well, I listen to you every week, and I always mean to call, and I remember to call early.
I'm glad that you did, because it got you right in. Thank you so much for your questions.
Okay.
Have a great holiday weekend. All right, let's go to our next caller, and that is Lynn, who is with us from Ohio. Hi, Lynn. How you doing?
Well, I got a laptop that crashed several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I was playing a DVD in it. And all of a sudden, my roommate said it just stopped playing. I went out and saw a blue screen on it and said it was being shut down to protect the computer for some type of error or something.
Uh-oh.
And I was running seed cleaner on it. I keep track of the temperature. Sometimes it runs 70, perhaps 80 centigrade. I don't know. That seems a little hot to me.
Yeah, that is a little hot. What's 70 or 80 centigrade? That's like 130 degrees or...
Yeah, that's...
That's hot. I don't know. Let's see. So is your computer working now or just crashed that one time?
No, it's not working at all. In fact, I I'll turn it on the main switch, and it's a little on like that. That stays on. And on my shift lock key, there's a little tiny light bulb size of a pencil dot. That's light blue, and that shows when the shift lock is on and off. And that'll sit there and flash a couple times, stop a couple seconds, and flash a couple times, and that's it. I can't do anything else with it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Something's wrong. It's quite possible you had overheating, and that's why it shut itself off, or you have a serious crash. When you first powered on, did you say this was a Dell?
After it crashed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, is it a Dell computer?
I get nothing on the screen at all. It's totally blank. And then on my shift lock key, that normally has a little light on there.
Yeah, it blinks.
When you're on the uppercase selective, that light
okay.
stays on. Then, but this time, no screen, and it just flashes a couple of times and hesitates a couple of seconds and flashes a couple of times. That's
okay, Lynn, hang on a second.
It.
What we want to also find out is what make or model this is.
It's a... HP Compact Presario CQ57.
Okay.
Well, so that's Compact's. That's at least that's 7 or 8 years old.
I was going to say, that's an old computer.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. You probably had an over-temperature event or a high-temperature event, and it's crashed. I don't think you're going to be able to recover from this. Cal, do you have a suggestion?
You know, I think the problem is because the computer is so old and it's having a temperature issue, I bet you the paste that's on the... processor is probably dried out.
Well, someone like you or me could potentially fix this. But if he can't even power it up anymore and see the HP splash screen, because it takes about 5 or 10 seconds for the thing to go into an over temp.
Sure.
After, you know, even if you stick it in the refrigerator for a little while
yeah.
and then hurry up and plug it in and try to get into the Dell or HP BIOS so you can run a diagnostic.
Yeah, if he can't get that far, it's probably already damaged.
It's probably toast. It's damaged. Yeah.
No, sometimes it's running hot. Sometimes I put it in the refrigerator for a couple hours, sometimes overnight, and then it would run pretty cool. And then after about 9 minutes, you could hear the cooling fan start kicking on. They got different levels, low, medium, high stuff.
Okay, so what's happened?
It would get real high after about, you know, 15, 20 minutes, something like that. That's why, you know, it'd just be running hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really sounds like your computer's reached the end of its life. And what happens, these computers get so hot that they actually desolder themselves from the
yeah.
circuit board.
Yeah.
And there's really not a way of fixing that. I've fixed a couple, but I've been lucky as heck doing that.
Okay.
I think the computer laptop's reached the end of its life.
Sounds
really
like it.
Do.
There's some good. There are awful good deals out there. I hope you can find one of them for yourself, Lynn. Thanks so much for being with us here on this weekend. Sorry to give you that kind of bad news about a terminal laptop. All right, folks, we got lines open right now at 800-859-0957. Be like Betty. Call as early as you can, and we will get the questions answered for you. 800-859-0957. We're waiting to hear from you. Much thanks to Daniel Mason, who is our engineer here. Thank you, Daniel, for answering the phones. And we got some phone calls coming in right now. We'll get to them in just a moment. 800-859-0957.
Hey, speaking of Canada Day,
yes.
Cal did a quick calculation on Celsius. Cal, what was that temperature again?
If you're burning at 80 degrees Celsius, if you're burning at 80 degrees Celsius, then you're at 176 degrees Fahrenheit.
And what is the melting point of solder?
176 degrees.
That's right.
So
flow,
what you were saying before, Ed,
it
is it exactly. Literally, folks, the components begin to slip off the motherboard because they are being unsoldered or disconnected.
Oh, I hope I'm not misspeaking myself. Is it 170 or 270? I'll have to double check that.
Okay, you can go ahead and double check in the background. By the way, I just wanted to say, I got an email during the show from an old friend of mine, John Humphrey, and he had a question about Windows Update. John, please give us a call because it will not only help you, but it'll help other people as well. Or you can simply wait till after the show and we'll answer it by email.
I'm sorry, I remembered incorrectly. It's 173 Celsius, which is 370 Fahrenheit. So I'm sorry, I misled you, Cal. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it won't be the first time, I'm sure of that.
Hey, anyway, it's too hot.
I got another thing to let people know about, too, because I just got this over this week. I got a TiVo box, and it's a TiVo HD box.
Yeah.
And I got an email from TiVo saying, hey, you got a lifetime services on on this box. That's great. That's wonderful. We're going to be shutting that service off on all those boxes come the end of July.
Ooh.
But for $99, you can continue that service lifetime on a new TiVo box and pick one of the many different ones that they have right there. So now I have on order a TiVo Boat that's being shipped to me to replace my HD box.
So whose lifetime were they talking about?
Well, it's the life. If you read the actual information, I'd start digging into it. It is the lifetime of the box, and they're no longer going to support that box.
That makes sense.
So that lifetime goes away.
I got you.
All but that right. box has been out since 2006. So
that's like
six.
That's like dog years then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was around for 10 years.
All right. Let's go to Kathy in Monroe. Kathy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hello. I have a HP laptop, and it's like 1 year old.
Yes.
And it has a Trojan horse, I guess the lady called it.
Yeah, a Trojan. That's it's a piece of malware that has buried itself in your computer and is now giving you fits.
Do you have any advice so I can get rid of this and not damage my computer any longer more?
First of all, you said it's a year old. Did you buy it? Where did you buy it?
I bought it off Home Shopping, and it had a lifetime free tech support from VTech, and they would always take control, you know, when I called them and linked in with them, and I loved watching them work, and then suddenly VTech skated out on Home Shopping Network, and I told them that I had a virus, and I've been calling them for 2 months. And they keep saying, well, wait a few more weeks. And I said, well, are you going to owe me a computer? Because
darn
the
right.
tech had me take. What do you think on that? That's two subjects I just gave you, sir.
Yeah, you did. I don't know, guys. I would, if you have a computer that's only a year old and they're playing this shell game with you with a service.
Well, the first thing is, what is the warranty on that computer? Is it for a year?
Well, it's for tech service. It came with it. Like they threw it in as a... not an app, because you can phone in to VTech, which is nationwide, I assume.
Did they say that the VTech service is there for covering you for a particular time period?
724 for the lifetime of the computer. And then my grandson by mistake broke the computer, so I paid an extra $300 for this when it was a couple months old. So I have quite a bit of money invested in this.
Ouch.
Yeah. It sounds like they skated, and she's already been arguing with them, and they're not going to provide support. The simplest thing to do is, what's our favorite piece of software?
Well, what operating system are you using, Windows 10?
Windows what?
Is Windows 10 running on the computer?
Oh, I would assume. I hope that I asked them to make sure I was updated. I assume. I'm not real illiterate on the computer, but I assume it's 10.
If you bought it a year ago on the Home Shopping Network, I'm going to presume that they put Windows 10 on it.
So if you can still connect to the internet, I would suggest that you go to a site called Malwarebytes. That's MalwareBytes.
Yeah, so it's malicious ware software bytes. So malware bytes, BYTES.
.com.
And they offer a free software scanner that you can download and run on your computer. We tell our listeners all the time. Now, your computer probably came with antivirus software, and this can run alongside it. And, Cal, that runs on a Mac and a PC, right?
Yeah, it can run on either one of them.
Right.
And now, this is something I'm going to suggest to you. How did you pay for that computer? Did you do it with a credit card, or how did you pay for it?
I think it was credit card. Yes, it was guaranteed credit card.
So what I would do, if it was me, and if they were supposed to be able to support for the lifetime of that computer, I would contest that purchase with my credit card company.
Can you go back that far?
There's nothing to keep you from trying.
Okay, you're right.
I would contest the purchase based upon the fact that they did not deliver the product that they sold you. And then that will make them go back to Home Shopping Network. They'll hold money from them until they resolve the issue with you.
That's a good point.
Oh, good, because I've been so patient with them, and I keep asking and asking, because I think that earlier that you catch the problem, we can get it fixed.
Yes.
And... But what I was going to say is that VTech also had me pay like a couple $100 or $250 for some Stopzilla that was supposed to be anti-spyware and all that, whatever.
Yep.
And that was for life. That was for Lifetime. And then about 9 months later, they said that we had a problem with the Stopzilla. So now we want you to upgrade your Lifetime. So I had to pay him another $90.
Yeah, you know what? I would stop right there because yes. It's really sounds like, and I don't know this company, but they really sound like one of those companies that we receive phone calls from that tell us that we represent Microsoft and you have a virus on your computer. That it almost sounds like a scam. It really does. It sounds like they're just going to keep on going after money because you're willing to pay it. You really don't.
Don't you think that Home Shopping's reputable? And you know VTech that makes all those little children's little flat like iPads, but they're for little kids. VTech, all they make millions of products.
Well, if I had a company that kept on coming after me and for $300 and $90, I would suspect what their motivation is. Is it for my best interest or their best interest?
The first thing you want to do is go ahead and contest that purchase with Home Shopping Network. That will force them to take care of you in a proper way, either A, giving you a new computer that you can start all over with, or B, refunding back your money for what they did not support for you.
Right.
Yeah, you have been stung enough.
Is my computer, like, destroyed? The lady showed me. She took me and showed me where all my information, where this Trojan is in there, is overseas. And so I had to call the TransUnion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to badmouth this company, but they really don't sound like I don't know. They don't sound very reputable.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Somehow.
Pardon me?
Are you familiar with Home Shopping?
Oh, no. We're not talking about Home Shopping.
Hey, Gary has something to say.
Oh, Gary, go ahead.
So I'm curious, how did you find out you had a Trojan?
Because I bought a Roku TV. Now, not a smart little streaming device, but a Roku TV. And I was trying to download a certain app for the Roku TV. And that lady said, ma'am, she said, your problem is a lot deeper than this. And she's the one who took me. She didn't take me to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, but she showed me the Trojan, how tragic it is in your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, but any Trojan, any technician worth, you know, that's been working on the job for 3 months should be able to remove a Trojan in less than 30 minutes to an hour. I could log into your computer and remove usually a Trojan very quickly using numerous free utilities that are available on the internet.
Did you have a follow-up on that, Gary?
This was Roku TV that when you tried to install it, you called their support, and this woman told you you had a Trojan?
Yes, because she said, I don't know, because my Wi-Fi for my laptop is synced in with my Roku TV. And so the lady said that she could see that or something, and she, you know, that wasn't her department. She said, I'm not making money off, but oh, yes, she is. She tried to send me to some $300 guy, and I got mad because I keep spending money like this. And this is the Roku.
Yeah, don't.
I was
on another call. She called me back like 5 times, and I kept just discarding the call.
Good.
But I couldn't believe the business kept calling me back like that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've gotten caught in this kind of a whirlpool of scams that are going on. So Cal's suggestion initially, I think, is go where the money is. Go to the credit card company and start there. And
right.
Say, well, I want it shut down. Go ahead, Gary.
Don't we need to find out if she really has a Trojan?
Well, one of the
somebody told you had a Trojan doesn't mean you do. What are the symptoms?
Well, you know what? Skype for Business popped up there about 2 months ago, and that's when I kept asking for tech support. And I uninstalled it, and then I went in the background files because I know a little bit about computers. Excuse me, and I still cannot get it out of my computer. It's Skype for Business. And it takes over my page every time I turn it on.
But that's not a Trojan.
I just assumed it was problems and it led to that, so I'm wrong, I guess.
No,
okay.
No, not necessarily. I mean, your computer isn't acting right. But one of the things you can do is download Malwarebytes.
.com,
and then download the free utility. Don't pay for it because they offer a perfectly free utility that'll scan, and then it should be able to scan your computer and tell you if you have some malicious software on there. That's what we're saying.
The malware bytes won't cost you anything, and it can run that diagnostic. If it runs into something, it will identify it and get rid of it. If you have bigger problems than that, and Gary asked a very good question, how do you know that this is a Trojan? The way of identifying that is to use malware bytes. The other thing would be, too, to take it, you live downriver, I would suggest, see if you can, is there, find a local computer shop you can take it to. I'm going to put you on hold, Kathy, and we're going to see if we can come up with some other solutions for you offline. Jim, we're going to get to you, and John, I'm glad to see you calling in as well. We're going to try to help you as well here to wrap things up on this holiday weekend. It's, oh boy, see if we can unravel things for our friend Kathy. Back in just a moment after these messages. You know, Gary, I want to thank you for asking that question about, you know, is there really a Trojan there? Because a lot of the way scams work is to convince you of something that really isn't the case so they can get you to spend a ton of money. Like this poor woman has spent God knows how much money.
Right, and who knows who she, how she got roped into it.
Yeah.
You know, was she trying to call VTech? Was she trying to call consumers, shoppers? Was she trying to call the Roku support line? Who knows? And then somehow she got roped into an illegitimate people that are more concerned about selling services and illegitimate software, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. But
do you remember when they used to call people and say, "Look, you have this virus here, I'll show you," and they tell you to go to this file, and people go, "Oh yeah, I have that file, it must be a virus," when in fact it was a file in your operating system. As soon as they removed it, then it stopped, it made the operating system stop.
That's the file that had the teddy bear icon associated with it. It was a legitimate Microsoft file. Yes, I remember that.
It's cruel. It's cruel to use teddy bears to scam people.
Isn't it, though?
That is cruel and unusual.
That would be the right thing to do.
All right, let's get back to our callers. We have a couple people here. Jim in Westland, how can we help you?
Okay, I'm going to help you.
Oh.
A new thing that I found on Windows 10 about a week ago. I had a JPEG that I wanted to enhance and make better, and I clicked. After I clicked on that file, I right-clicked the mouse, and it gave me a choice of programs, and the one that I really like is a new one called Print 3D. When I clicked on that, and it opened up the window for the menu on that one, for that particular picture, and you can do it one at a time, you click on Save as 3D, and you get a 3D image you can see without wearing 3D glasses, and there's a big difference.
Wow.
No kidding. I didn't know that. I heard that Microsoft was going to have a 3D editor. I did not know that it would have that ability to modify your... I never played with it. Jim, that's a great tip.
So it what you said, it modifies your existing JPEGs.
Yeah, well, you don't have to modify the original if you don't want to, but I'm telling you can view it without glasses for 3D, and it makes a much more realistic, life-looking picture. Let's put it that way.
I don't have to have the... Was it blue and yellow? Was it blue and red?
Oh, yeah.
Blue and red.
You still may need the glasses. Is that correct, Jim?
No, you don't need glasses. Absolutely no.
What? What magic is this?
I'm telling you, try the program. Do what I just said. Click on it. And then click on the right-hand corner on the bottom. Save as 3D. And you'll find out you don't need glasses.
Woo-hoo.
Well, thanks a lot for that tip. That's kind of fun.
It's called Print 3D. Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. But real quick,
yeah.
The poor lady that had all that trouble, I used to own a gateway. Now, the gateway would service 24 hours a day. But when they switched companies, they didn't have that same policy anymore. It was gone. And you couldn't do a darn thing about it. And I mean that sincerely. You guys target to help people. I know that. But if a company goes defunct or some other company buys and takes over that production, that application, how it was run, will not run that way the second person that takes over.
In this particular case, though, she bought the service package and the computer both from Home Shopping Network. And so they kind of had their fingers into the pie. And I think their responsibility would be at least to try and help her in that particular case, because they're the ones that provide her with the vendor contact in the first place.
And it sounds like, Kathy... went in $300 for an additional service, and then another $50 after that.
Oh, they wanted more. I lost track of the amount of money that poor woman was putting
out. The best one that I came up with is the Geek Squad from Best Buy.
Okay.
You pay $100, three of your computers are covered. Unless you hit them with a hammer, they can fix them most of the time online. And if you take it to the store, you don't pay anything extra as long as you haven't hit it with a hammer or poured water on it.
Hmm. Well, that's a pretty good tip. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a great weekend as well. Well, here is my friend John from Royal Oak. Hi, John. How you doing?
Hello, Foster.
How can we help you now with your update file?
Okay. Like the email that I sent you, it says, while checking Windows Update for important and optional updates, I saw the restore point come up and installing updates. All the important updates were installed, but the optional preview of monthly quality roll-up for Windows failed. And it says it was a file of 181.8 megabits. After that point, when I was trying to restart my computer, it wouldn't restart. And so what I did is I went to safe mode with networking. It was able to, you know, basically, you know, get my computer on, and then it came up with the, you know, with a thing that said that it had failed. Today, when I checked my computer, the optional quality roll-up came up again. It's an optional update. Mm-hmm. Do I need to download that? It comes up every month.
Whenever it's optional, you don't have to download it.
Okay. It just shows...
But it will nag you.
Right. Well, unfortunately. Something about that you can make this go away or something. If you right-click on it, it'll hide it or something like that. But it's not something that I have to... It's not something that I have to download.
No, it is not something that you have to do.
John, what system are you running? What's the operating system?
Windows 7.
Okay.
It's Windows 7.
Yeah,
Windows 7. Yeah, it's showing 2017/6 preview of monthly quality roll-up for Windows 7 for x64-based systems, and then it's got a KB code next to it, and it's showing code error and so on and so forth.
Yeah, those are usually Microsoft.net updates, if I remember correctly, but I'm not sure. So you're updating other components of Windows that... don't necessarily relate to the operation of the system. I believe. I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
A little further.
It was just something that just came up. And like I say, other times when I noticed in the history, mm-hmm. it would come up like once a month, you know, back in, mm-hmm. let's see, the beginning of June or something like that. So I thought it's like, well, you know, that one said in importance, it says important. But this one that came up this month, or 6/30/17, was optional.
Is there an actual KB article number associated with that? Like
yes, KB 4022168, and then it showed an error detail code 8007063.
If you go into Microsoft Bing and you actually type in those two numbers, you know Windows Update fail, and then you put the KB number. You'll probably get some solutions to that, but also you can also just type in what is KB 4022168. It'll tell you what that update is. It's an optional update so that you can, you know, sit and spin on for your camera. I mean, who knows what the update is?
mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm just not quick enough to type that in right now.
So by the way, folks, KB stands for knowledge base, right, Ed?
Yes.
And the number that you quoted was 4022168. And again, it's optional, but that would help you to find out more about what that is.
Oh, there it is. It's fixes issues with Edge and IE printing blank pages. So,
have you had that issue?
I don't know.
Well, he's using Windows 7. Did Windows 7 support Edge?
That's what Microsoft says. It's a Windows 7 and a Windows 10 update for 64-bit operating systems, and it's to repair issues with IE or Edge printing blank pages. That's all I read in the first paragraph.
So the only other thing that came up in an optional, which I've never downloaded, it says Advanced Micro Devices Media Driver. Updated release in March 2016, so that's been sitting there for a while, but I don't think I need to download that.
That's only if you have an AMD a component in your computer that matches that description.
And Microsoft Windows has identified that he probably does. There are a lot of components on there. So, I mean, it's probably like an AMD video card as an example.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible.
John, we're going to have to roll out of here because we're coming to the end of the show, but have a great holiday weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, John, for giving us that call. Well, folks, thank you for calling in early and calling in often here. We have a It's a great show today. Thank you so much. And Gary, you got a moonlight crew set up for your guests?
Happy 4th of July, of course. And we'll have to do some fireworks cruising as well.
All right. Today, so. All right, Gary, take care. Have a good weekend, a nice long one here with the 4th of July. And Ed and Kel, thanks so much for being with us on board here.
Looking
today.
Forward to the smell of that barbecue. Let me
tell you. Danielle Mason, thank you so much for being our engineer here and for our producer as well. Did a great job handling both of those. Folks, I suggest, again, you go to our homepage at internetadvisor.com. During the first hour, we did some things about cyberbullying, and AT&T has done a great job of giving us resources. There's a video there, and by the way, pass this on to the kids. Let them watch that. And then there's a resource for parents and guardians as well. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend, and go Canada!
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.